The Spinoff Podcast Network.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. The Investment Fix Podcast. Tune in today.
Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply.
Kia ora everyone, kia ora Leonie Michelle in virtual internet land.
Kia ora Alex, kia ora Michelle.
Hello.
We're doing a podcast. There's Jeremy Elwood. Yay. Oh, this is so exciting. Hey, hi Jeremy.
Thank you.
Cheers everybody.
Cheers. Cheers my lovelies.
Cheers to all of you out there. Welcome to the pandemic episode of On the Rack. The lockdown episode, and also the final episode for the foreseeable future.
Just for now.
Yeah, I think, you know, everything's a bit on pause at the moment, isn't it? True. We didn't plan it like that, but that's just how it has all come together. Where do we even want to start? We were emailing today and I was like, I don't have a plan. I don't even know what I want to talk about. How are we all doing?
I just want to talk about my feelings.
Me too, so much.
I'm sorry to everyone else that's listening, but we might just therapy all over you guys. I hope you don't mind.
I think that's a really good idea. I do. Oh, my God.
So as of recording, we are, what are we? Is it a week?
Day eight.
Day eight of lockdown. And what's the status in our individual households? How are you doing, Michelle?
I'm okay. I've realised that I've been going through the seven stages of grief. Initially I was full of denial about this virus. I remember saying to you guys, I don't care about the virus. I'm not going to catch it. I'm just fucked off and I'm not going to be allowed to do the things I want to do. Like today I was supposed to fly to LA and go to a baseball game, and be away for 5 weeks. And I was one of those terrible denialists. And then I got really angry about how my world was changing and then shocked when I lost all of my income. So now I'm in depression, and I'm expecting to head into testing, which is trying out new ways of living and acceptance, sometime in the next 5 years or so, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a process.
The long game.
The long game.
Yeah.
We're all playing the long game. Because the short game sucks.
Yeah, so I feel a bit stink that I didn't take this seriously until maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. Maybe 3 weeks ago. Anyway, but that's where I am. But I'm happy. I've got Prosecco. I've got my cat has become really affectionate. The garden's full of birds. My husband's lovely. And I'm reading books.
That's great. That's great. God, I wish I had even touched a book in this time. I've been a real piece of shit. How are you doing, Leonie?
I'm okay. All the days are starting to bleed into each other a little bit, in good ways and in bad. I sort of find myself waking up at 3 a.m. and just watching telly, because why the fuck not?
Yeah.
But there's lots of reasons why you shouldn't do that, because it makes you like really sleepy and feel quite weird the next day. Mm. And I don't need any reasons to feel weirder right now. I've been drinking a lot more than I usually would during the week. I like a weekend drink, but I've never been much of a I don't usually have like glasses of wine after work. I just don't do that. Mm-hmm. I quite like to just drink to get drunk, and that's maybe once every couple of weeks kind of a thing. But we've been having cocktails pretty solidly every day around six, the quarantini. Which
what's
is well, this is Harry, my partner's recipe. I believe there's like a million different quarantini recipes around the world, but he has decided it's lemon, honey, and ginger juice, that quite like the raw juice that you get from the supermarket, and vodka, gin, or whiskey, whatever you've got in the house, and a little bit of hot sauce.
That sounds great.
Yeah. I think it works best with the whiskey, personally. But yeah, otherwise I'm feeling quite anxious a lot of my days. But we also have a lot of work on at thespinoff.co.nz, and not having my workmates around me to, I guess, just sort of like alleviate that pressure valve where you just stop work for 5 minutes and have a chat to someone. You're just in work head all day long, mm-hmm. and I find that quite stressful. The work itself, I don't think is more or harder. I think it's just not having people around to chat about work with makes it seem harder.
It's a funny test day, because I always was like, oh, what I would give to work from home and just be alone. I just want my space. I'm such a loner, and I am not. I found that now. It's so bizarre. And even like, there's a lot of nuance gets lost when you're only communicating, even if it's like video or voice. It's just totally. Not the same. It's just the vibes are gone, man. That's my review of the times. And I found it particularly difficult. I've been really, really terrible at doing my little government sanctioned walk every day. Like, I just haven't really moved very much. The first day I went out, and I know that this is good and this is what we're supposed to be doing, but when the first person went around me on the road, I burst into tears.
Yeah. It feels so personal. And you, oh, my gosh. It's,
It's so crazy. And I was like, thank you, but also, And then, like, this old man waves at me from the window of the rest home, and I was just like, Like, just like, beautiful sunny day, but just absolutely losing it. It's a whole new way of interacting for everyone, isn't it? It's particularly strange.
We've got lots of houses down our street with teddy bears in the window, which is both delightful and heartbreaking. It's, you know, both of us come home, we walk separately. I think, I don't know why we're doing that. I think, well, we're spending 24/7 together, so that's probably quite nice. But both of us come home and go, that's really nice. There's a new teddy bear at number 42. So, yeah. On the upside, can I just say I learned something about myself? I've always said that if I had more time, I would exercise, and if I had more time, I would cook. And I am shocked more than anyone else in the world to discover that that's true. I am exercising and I am cooking. I thought I was lying all those years, but it turns out that I'm really enjoying, I've got a stationary bike in my office, and I've been trying new recipes.
What have you been cooking?
Last night I made a chicken that I'd marinated for 24 hours in whole grain mustard and lemon zest and juice. Ooh. And garlic, and then just roasted it in the oven and served it up with some couscous, as I like to call it here, couscous. And it was delicious. So, and it's been a recipe that's I clipped out of it for the listener. Do you remember that magazine? Many years ago, and had never got around to making. So I'm kind of pleased with myself about that.
Yeah, it's just like the little things, eh? Anything that you can manage. I saw, Leona, you tweeted the other day about quite an interesting recipe you pioneered. Do you want to share that with the group?
Do you mean my bread wiped on butter? My cooking has veered wildly from me spending an entire day on a three-course meal with dessert to me the other day just finding myself holding a piece of bread. I couldn't be bothered dirtying yet another plate and yet another knife. So So I just wiped it along the top of the butter and ate it, and that was my lunch.
Oh, my God. My dark COVID confession is just it's just the jar of olives. And it's the fingers just going in and just eating olives, staring at the open fridge any hour of the day, and then chasing it with a piece of chocolate. Like, still kind of the combo. It's umami. It's kind of interesting.
I did, just before I came on here, I had a sandwich. Have you guys seen that Hannibal Buress bit where he talks about the pickle juice when the pickles are gone and just saving the pickle juice to just flick on your sandwiches? Oh, I did that. We ran out of pickles. I had a cheese sandwich and I was very sad that I didn't have any pickles. So I put my hand in the jar of pickle juice and I flicked it all over my sandwich. It was nice.
It's amazing. So handsy, eh? In the times of COVID, isn't it amazing? Isn't it crazy how quickly it's like, I found this in particular watching the Bachelorette finish up, but any TV show now where people are in close contact with each other.
Yeah.
That I now I'm like, oh, what are you doing?
They're touching. Get away from her.
Don't kiss. You don't know. He's got it.
You can't kiss him. He's not in your bubble.
Especially a format like The Bachelorette where it's like one, or in our case, two people and 12 guys. There's just 12 possible cases of COVID you might be licking.
And who knows who they've been in contact with? Oh, my goodness.
It's ridiculous. It's just,
yeah, like you now see... Yeah, like you see, I see, when I look around now, I see like Toby Morris illustrations everywhere instead of like humans. I see the bubbles and I see that like spready thing. It's, oh, but it's cool, right?
We're fine. Yeah, it's fine.
What else do you find aside from cooking and butter on bread, et cetera, is helping you at the moment?
I'm doing little tiny projects because I'm in survival mode. Like, people keep saying, when are you going to start doing stand-up comedy online? And I'm like, fucking not, but maybe ask me in a few weeks. But that just sounds like the most horrible idea in the world. So I, every morning I set, both Jeremy and I set, we tell each other what our project is for the day. And like on Tuesday, it was to tidy out the third drawer down in my office. That was it. That was my project for the day. And it feels really good because it's manageable and I'm controlling one small piece of the world. And whenever I want to, I can go and open the third drawer down and it's a fucking marvel. Mm. It's perfection. So making really tiny projects is what's getting me through.
You're so good.
Am I? Oh, God, yeah, I feel like I'm a munted husk, a shell of a woman.
Munted husk. Yeah, I completely failed to go into lockdown with any goals or hobbies or anything like that. I've got books and I've got the internet.
Yeah.
And that was the plan, because by the time we were getting ready to go into lockdown, work was so intense. I couldn't really think about anything else. It's fine. I mean, I do go on my walk every day, maybe a couple. I've also taken to just sitting on our back deck and just staring at all the people in the park doing squats.
Oh, yeah.
The whole park is just filled with Lycra and squats every day.
Yeah.
All of Les Mills has emptied into Auckland's parks where it's been done out loud in the open, and it is so fascinating. I've done 3 squats since lockdown started and I was just imitating people in the park.
What's going to happen when the lockdown lifts? Is it just going to be like, just like amazing butts? Like just butt people leaving the house butt first, just showing off all their lockdown squats.
There'll be really tight glutes, a lot of regrowth in the hair. Yes. And dogs just fucking exhausted from being walked over and over and over and over again. A lot of very tired, muscly dogs.
Yeah.
And then the other half. Oh, you go.
No, I was just going to say, you mentioned, Michelle, that you've been looking at the birds. There's a, like, over our driveway, there's sort of this kind of like a green banana tree, and there's a whole bunch of bananas, and I've just been watching every day because I do feel like there are more birds around.
Yeah,
and I
definitely.
That's right? That's science. Do you know the most embarrassing thing I did the other day? I was in like a panic about trying to write like a positive story. So I just panicked and emailed Doc, being like, are there more birds in my house right now? And they were like, thank you for your inquiry. We're not actually out at the moment to look at the birds. And if we were, it would be on conservation land. And I was like, okay, thank you.
But what about Mount Albert?
Yeah, the precious driveway. And I've started to notice, and it reminded me a lot of that book that we've talked about before, that How to Do Nothing book, where she talks mm-hmm. about walking around and watching nature and looking at the birds and the things that you notice. And I started to notice the little patterns, like the little wax eyes, the tiny baby birds have like their first go on the bananas, and then the big kind of angry, like kind of just your classic bird. I don't know what kind they are, but you know, like just kind of brown sort of classic bird comes in and they have a squabble, and then the tui swoops in and everybody leaves and it's tui time to eat the bananas. And that's maybe the only thing that I've like learned this lockdown, and I feel pretty happy with it, you know.
It's
like
good.
I like watching the banana tree and having at least a tiny moment's break from the horror and atrocity.
Banana TV.
Banana TV. My God. We should pitch that. But on your thing about cleaning out your drawers, Michelle, I think it's really important to have little things like that. But I have also noticed on Instagram, and, you know, we've seen it across the internet, there is a broader push, which feels especially gendered as well, to suddenly straighten out the whole house. Or be really, really productive and, you know, dust the blinds and and wipe the skirting. There are some sort of 28-day cleaning challenges, which I've seen
what?
Around Instagram.
Oh,
and it's all women, you know, women who are doing those cleaning challenges. And it's just, I think it's adding a lot of pressure that we probably don't need right now.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried that we might be scooting back to the 1950s in a whole lot of households around the world, that, you know, if the kids are home, somebody's got to take care of them. Guess who that will be? Everybody's focused on food. Guess who's going to provide that? Who's going to the supermarket? Who's doing the cooking? You know, it's Stepford Wives' possible territory. Fuck.
Yeah, I have to say it would be interesting to look at the numbers of people who are going to the supermarket, the one per household, and seeing what the gender balances are there. I think we know the answer to that.
We misunderstood that instruction, so we go one at a time, but we take turns.
What do you mean?
As in one waits for the other outside?
No, I went on Tuesday and Jeremy went today.
Oh, that's fine.
That's all right. We're allowed to do it. You don't have to come together in the household constantly.
It just means the whole family can't go to the supermarket together.
No. But we take turns with it because I find it really confronting to be out in the what used to be very normal world, and it's not normal. And I scuttle back home as fast as I can.
It's stressful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I find that much more stressful than being inside. To be honest, I've not gone to a main supermarket yet. I've been to Faro just once, and otherwise I've just been going to the dairy at the top of the road and spending horrendous amounts of money. But Faro was really like stressful, and there was a long queue, and there was a man yelling at everyone in the queue that they weren't 2 meters apart. He didn't work there. He just was someone else who was queuing who decided to use his very loud, aggressive man voice to get us all into shape, which was really unnecessary because everyone was on edge. This was only like day two or something of the lockdown, and so we were queuing outside in the rain for a very long time. And, you know, everyone's so on edge, and it's kind of fine once you get into the store. But I don't know. I hate it. So I just have tried to not go to the store at all because it freaks me out so much.
I haven't gone yet because of that reason.
Yeah.
I have a genuine concern that I'm, like, going to develop some kind of agoraphobia or something. I'm scared of the mail. I'm like, that mail's got the stuff on it, you know? I used to love getting mail. Now I'm like, nuh-uh, put that in the sun. What is it, 48 hours or something on paper? It's just, yeah, everything has changed forever. Do you wear a mask when you go to the supermarket, or what's your get-up? Gloves? So, or is that too much?
I don't do that. I do hand sanitizer as I go in and as I leave, and then again when I get in the car. So my problem is that because I'm hearing impaired, I lip read, and that's how I've been surviving in the world since I was 11. And so anybody with a face mask on is completely unintelligible to me. So I find that really, that's the other reason I'm not enjoying my experiences out in the supermarket and anywhere else, because people, all I hear is, and I don't know if they're saying, have you swiped your loyalty card, or have a nice day, or you're not allowed to buy that much wine. I don't know what they're saying.
Yeah, I wear a mask only because I bought a bunch, like, way before COVID even got here. I just thought, they look kind of cool. So I bought some black ones, and I also bought one with roses printed on it. And I figure if I have to go and interact with people, it's just an excuse to wear my cool masks.
Yeah. It has made for some scary kind of imagery. It's the most bizarre thing to be so acutely aware that you're living through, like, a historical moment. Like, even when you talk about the teddy bear thing, I was like, instantly, I'm like, that's what we're going to tell our grandkids. Like, it'll be like, oh, there's the thing. Remember the teddy bears in the window? It'll be like some old-timey war story of, like, you know, weird things hanging out the window. It's just very surreal and very cinematic. And I think the main thing is, like, it's okay to be feeling whatever the hell you're feeling right now.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, and it's okay not to clean.
It's not to clean.
I'm not,
it's okay
touching not to have my skirting board. Yeah.
I mean, you know, today my major goal was to have a shower and get dressed so I could talk to you on Zoom. That's my goal for the day. And tomorrow I might not bother.
Yeah. Take a holiday. You've earned it.
Saturday.
What I think is very interesting that I've been thinking about, I mean, it seems stupid to predict anything that's going to happen because everything changes within the space of a few hours, it feels, every day. But we have often talked on this podcast, run a test through sort of, I guess, things you do to your appearance and things you do in your life, and would you do it if you were alone on an island?
Yeah.
And we're nearly there, you know?
Yeah.
We're nearly in that hypothetical situation, and I find it quite interesting what this might do to beauty standards or the beauty industry, whether it will impact it at all. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Just capitalism in general, baby.
Well, yeah, right.
Everyone, it's all, like, does. Socialist principles are saving capitalism right now. They're saving our entire country from starving.
Yeah, good point.
We've all gone on the benefit.
Yeah.
We're all probably going to come out of this wanting to support local businesses over big international multicorps after this, because we know how real, like, the economy is here and that we need to support it. Except for probably McDonald's. They're going to have a queue a mile long for 2 years when lockdown is over, probably. But I love that, and it's like making people reassess, like, their relationship with their landlords and property, and, like you say, with, like, beauty and consumerism, with local entrepreneurship versus international, like, multinationals. It's cool. We should all be questioning all of these things.
Yeah.
I've definitely, well, I am not definitely, but I'm definitely toying with the idea that that's it for colouring my hair forever.
Mm.
Just, I don't know. I'm going to see what this looks like at the end of lockdown, whenever that is. But I may not ever go back to it because it feels like the least important thing I could ever do with my time and money.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
Yeah, and I've lost any, I used to have quite an appetite for consumerism, for bringing things into the house And I have no desire to do that. Like if online shopping was still, if deliveries were still available, I still wouldn't be doing that. I have no, I guess I'm spending so much time inside the house, even though I've always worked here, but I feel like it's full of stuff that I haven't quite used yet. You know, like recipes I've never tried. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's real interesting, eh?
Yeah.
Tell you what's not going to do well out of this, the jeans industry. Because I ain't never putting those back on. The hard pants. No, thank you.
Yeah. The cut right into your tum-tum pants.
And anything like, that is not a soft sports bra. Yeah. No, thank you either.
Yeah.
Underwire, bye-bye. And, I mean, I've always dressed in clothes that could double as pajamas, but now I'm just wearing pajamas. So,
yeah. I bought some nice new lockdown pajamas before. I mean, I didn't know we were going into lockdown. They were just stay-at-home pajamas. And they're very beautiful. So I wear them a lot during the day.
Do you have, like, a change? You go from day pajama to night pajama, or is it all the way through?
No, I only care about the day pajamas because I don't really care about what I wear to bed. But I want nice day pajamas to look nice during the day, so... I did buy a long skirt with like an elasticated waistband just randomly like a week before lockdown as well. And I've basically gone between that and pajamas, which is weird because I wear track pants to work most days, but somehow like the skirt makes me feel like I'm trying a little bit, you know. My two concessions to not giving up entirely have been wearing perfume every day.
Yes.
And that skirt. Because I think when I walk down the stairs after I've had my shower and put that on, just like a t-shirt and a skirt, I still feel like I'm going to work.
Yeah.
The one thing that I have to do every day or I know that I get miserable is make the bed. That's about the only thing, though. I can be a complete slattern about everything else, but I have to make the bed.
Totally. Anything to make it that much harder to get back in the bed.
True.
Important to me as someone who prone to a lie-in, you know, prone to working from bed, which you should not do. I spoke to a physio last year, I don't know, yesterday. He said that's the single worst thing you can do is work from bed or work from couch. If you are still lucky enough to be working at home, prop yourself up. Here's a tip. Leonie, you know all about this because you've always been very good at posture and whatnot.
I try.
And put the books or something under your feet to put your legs, your knees at like a 90, your knees should be at 90 degrees and your hips should be at 90 degrees.
Yeah.
And you should have a lumbar thing. I'm doing none of this right now, but I think in passing it on, it's good enough.
I've always been so good at this at work, but I failed to prepare my workspace properly at home. So I have been either slouched on the couch or slouched at our kitchen table, which has bench seats, so my back is on fire 100% of the time, unfortunately.
A couple of squats might sort you out.
My mum offered to send me her lumbar roll, and I said no, you're not allowed to use a post for things that are non-essential right now. And she'd never heard that. She's been sending stuff all over the country because it's keeping her entertained, just like sending she's just sending like recipes to friends and bits of crap that she finds lying around the house, which she loves sending me, just like, oh, I found this necklace from 1984 and I've sent it to you because you'll love it, and I never do, but bless her. But she's continued to do that, and no one told her that you're meant to not be using like courier or postal services right now. I think there's a lot of that kind of information that's just not getting out there.
Yeah, same with the sort of the bubble merging and the single bubbles and that sort of thing. Like, there were some mixed messages there for a while. Jacinda sort of said you can merge a single bubble as long as you're faithful to the other bubble.
That was really funny. It basically read like the Prime Minister telling New Zealanders off for being hoes. She was just like, an answer to a question about one single person merging with another person and making a bubble. We have to be faithful to that person. You can't go around making lots of little bubbles. And I was like, oh my God, Jacinda just told you to stop being a hoe, everybody. You got to listen to the Prime Minister right now.
It's also hard at a time where I feel like palpably people are hornier than they've ever been.
Right?
Like on Twitter even, I feel like it's all tied up with the Ashley Bloomfield first. I've been getting a lot of screenshots from my friends who are on Tinder and people are crazy out there.
People are just trying to get like sneak off to parks and things. It's so naughty.
Yeah.
I'm not on Twitter. I've just been creeping on Alex's friends' Tinders on social media.
I have heard a cultural theory from someone who's not a cultural theorist that after this it's going to go back to like the swinging 60s.
Oh my god, totally.
And everyone's just going to be like, lockdown is just when it lifts, it'll just be like just a giant orgy somewhere.
those people doing squats in your park will be doing different kind of squats in the park.
They're hosting for sure.
Oh dear, what else do you want to talk about? Should we talk about the other ways that this current our new normal is kind of intersecting with feminism, which is something that this podcast is nominally about? Because what we've definitely noticed over the past 2 weeks is you know, the changing of what is perceived to be essential work, and that a lot of it now falls on
women.
Mm. Carers, healthcare workers, checkout operators, roles that are traditionally, I think, gendered are now being held up as the most essential in the country. And it's interesting.
Yes. I also think the fact that a lot of people in those frontline essential services are on the receiving end of a lot of abuse, especially in the supermarkets when the thing that people want isn't on the shelf. I would hazard that people find it easier to yell at a woman for that. I would think, and I'm sure a lot of those people working in the checkouts is probably more women than men anyway. Mm-hmm. But I reckon that a lot of those people who are feeling like angry and aggressive would be way more likely to take it out on women than men.
Yeah, for sure. And so it's women at the front lines dealing with it in public, women in the front lines dealing with it at home. That's my guess, is that all the unpaid caring work falls, almost all of it falls to women. And I think lockdown is easier if you are a CEO on a guaranteed salary and most of them are men. And people who live hand-to-mouth, paycheck-to-paycheck, tend to be women and single parents who are mostly women. So, yeah, I think the way that this is affecting the genders, apparently there hasn't been before in big global viruses like SARS or Ebola or any of those things. There was no particular data gathered on how differently it affected men and women, but that there is some awareness now as they're gathering data that they're looking at the not just the medical effects, the health effects, but also the economic effects on the different genders. Well, so that'll be really interesting.
Yeah, that's good. I also find that a lot of the criticism of both Jacinda Ardern and Susie Wiles feels gendered a lot of the time. There's people that want to like put Susie down. There's just so much like focus on her hair, as if that somehow makes her not an incredible scientist and health communicator and the person that is frankly getting us through this alive.
Yeah.
And you know, and I've heard it from people I'm even sort of friends with who, you know, I might say to myself, okay, to be fair, that they potentially make fun of someone with zany hair, even if it was a guy. But it just feels like that is easier to do because she's a woman. And same with the Prime Minister. You see a lot of people on our Facebook comments and on the spin-off sort of talking about how they don't like how she talks to them like she's like their children. It's like, that's just someone trying to speak clearly in a way that everyone in the country can access. It's the fact that she's doing it with a woman's voice that you so object to, that doesn't carry the right authority for you.
Yeah. Would you rather she delivered like an inscrutable limerick about how to not fucking die, you idiot?
It's also been really fascinating to watch men who are used to being the loudest voices in the room on things like economics and business really want to be the loudest voices in the room on this topic because this is the hot topic. So you've got economists and successful businessmen. I'm making bunny ears for people who are just listening to this.
successful businessmen.
Yeah, I gave it a voice. That'll help. Who just want to have some kind of authority on how we should be responding to a virus. You're like, what the fuck? Just, this is not your field of expertise, dude. Sam, Bernard, all the rest of you.
Mr. Eggman on Twitter.
And I do appreciate that men are used to, men are sort of hardwired to, when they're presented with a problem, to be the one to try to fix it. But sometimes the most useful thing they could do is shut up and let Susie and Jacinda have a chat.
There was an amazing exchange on Twitter in the fallout from the absolutely horrific, brutal news that came out yesterday that Bauer just pulling all their publications effectively yesterday. There was a lot of sort of media back and forth on Twitter, and I just like to shout out the editor of NZGO, Rebecca White, who replied to a man. She replied to a man and just said, I don't think you know as much about this as I do, and I think you're wrong.
It was such a good reply. I'm making auto reply, my out of office. I'm getting it tattooed on my ass. I don't think you know as much as I do, and I think you're wrong.
And I think you're wrong.
Oh. It's just beautiful. And there's no malice in that statement either. And I worked with Rebecca for a very long time. She is one of the cleverest people I've ever worked with. And she's not a troll, you know. She wouldn't have said that to this guy to get a reaction or to be someone who starts shit on the internet. She's not that kind of person. That just was very clearly the correct thing to say in that moment. And I love her for that.
It's just amazing. The other kind of, I guess, gendered problem which is coming out of this is that, Women's Refuge, Shine, other domestic violence services, crisis services in New Zealand are anticipating, and we now have seen that there is a rise in domestic and family violence in lockdown with people in close quarters to each other who might not normally, you know, families might not normally have to be together all the time, and also women who might find themselves isolated from being able to go to work or even interact with people. And that's a really, really, really scary thought that's coming out of this, particularly if the lockdown does have to go on for longer. And there are sort of some techniques that you can kind of use to keep an eye on your neighbours. But you do also have to be careful of things, you know, communication, things over, you know, Messenger, even text calls can be better monitored now if people are living in close quarters with their abuser. And that's something that there's not necessarily an answer for. I just think it's something that, you know, people need to be really aware of. It's bizarre even like feeling like your neighbors are 1,000 years away, even though they're right there. And I don't quite know how to fix that. People are sort of waving across the fence, but you don't really know what's going on.
Yeah. People won't probably ever make the connection that them bending the rules a little bit to see a friend or visit a family member puts those people in danger for even longer, because that means we're in lockdown for even longer. It'd be great to communicate that more, I think, to there's real world effects of just flaunting the rules however you want to, even though you're my neighbor's 2 meters apart.
Looking for loopholes is something that I think we're all going to start doing in the next week or so before we properly accept this. But so one of the things that we've done around here that I think is, I'm sure everybody has, we know all our neighbours to shout out, and we have shout chats over the fence now, which is really fun. How are you? I'm fine. But before we went properly into lockdown, I printed out a piece of paper, because before lockdown, the virus wasn't going to hurt anybody. Do you know what I mean? Those 2 days we were running around doing everything we possibly could that we wouldn't be allowed to do straight after that. So I printed our mobile numbers and email addresses on paper and dropped it around the houses around us. And everybody texted back going, thank you, and here's ours. So we've got more ability to contact our neighbours than we did before this happened. So
that's good.
Maybe that's a thing, you know, for women who are living in intimate partner violence, just having those contacts suddenly appear on a piece of paper from the neighbours can be a handy thing. Mm-hmm. That's a level of sharing of our contact details that we haven't usually done. So that can be quite good. And the thing that I've been banging on about it heaps is that if you can go to the supermarket, don't shop online, because I know that, like, the aunties has had trouble getting any slots for online shopping, which is how those families were fed before, and now people are having to do physical shop and drops. But also anybody who's over 70 or immunocompromised or any of those people, just, like, if you can go to the supermarket, go to the supermarket, don't do online shopping.
Even though we just talked about how terrifying and anxiety inducing it is and how horrible it is, you have to do it anyway. That is the small price that we all have to pay for being able-bodied and not immune compromised and
not a single parent. Fuck, I keep wondering about how women with small children are getting their grocery shopping done, because they can't take their children in with them, apparently, although maybe they've relaxed that rule now.
I think they've relaxed that a bit because, you know, people got to eat.
Yeah.
You can't leave your kids locked in the car anymore. It's not the 70s anymore.
What's just more frowned upon?
Have we got any other tips we'd like to share from how we're getting through, or things to watch and read, because that's always a useful thing to share.
Has everyone watched Tiger King?
Tiger King.
Tiger King.
I only watched 2 episodes.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't do well with, like, animal cruelty. It gives me nightmares and makes me very sad. And so everyone kept telling me, no, it's not fine, it's not brutal. And I have to say, I was still very sad watching those first 2 episodes for a lot of the animals.
Mm.
And then I found out that the person that got their arm bitten off by a tiger and then went back to work a week later,
Seth,
apparently identifies as man. And so the entire documentary, misgenders and dead names them.
Whoa.
Which is something I found out yesterday, which was pretty buzzy.
Horrible.
That's horrible, right?
Yeah.
I'll probably keep watching anyway because it's so buzzy.
Yeah, it's sort of like it's a world which I would say has no morals.
It's a real study of, like, ego and narcissism, because they all, and, like, bear in mind I'm only 2 episodes in, but they've all built worlds around one ego, and then all of those people have been sucked into that solar system of ego, and they're all quite different little universes, but they're all built from the same thing. It's fascinating. America's crazy.
It is, isn't it? And the pecking order, you keep seeing how they shift in their power relationships, and even the person at the very bottom of the pyramid goes looking for somebody that they can treat as their slave person. Everybody's looking for somebody that they can have power and control over. So incredible. What an anthropological study.
I also just didn't know that you could just have a tiger in America. You know, like, you can just have whatever you want. Like, if you want to just breed tigers, fine.
Yeah. Just have a snow leopard. Just have a snow leopard. Fucking endangered animal living in your shed. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a real shock. It's definitely not a feel-good watch, though. I think Sam Brooks put it quite well. He just described it as just kind of grubby.
You just feel grubby
the whole time.
No likable characters.
Yeah.
I do have actually a good, combine these two things, a good tip around Watch Club if you're cohabitating with a partner. So one thing we did decide before we went into lockdown is one thing I've always sort of hated about long-term relationships is you compromise so often on finding something you both want to watch that you end up watching like just completely mediocre films and TV shows, mm-hmm. unless you happen to come across something you both like adore. But with movies, I have found in past relationships that I've just ended up watching nothing, like movies that mean nothing to me. And so one thing we decided before lockdown is for our movie nights, we would take turns choosing whatever movie we wanted without any thought to whether or not the other person wants to watch it or would like it or has seen it or anything like that. And it's worked out really well. Like,
it's a great idea.
My partner hasn't loved all of my choices, but in that instance, it still means I got to see a movie I really wanted to see and vice versa.
Yeah.
But then we've also been able to show each other, like, things that we like creatively that we maybe didn't know about each other, which it's working out well.
That's really good.
I love the idea. I know what you mean about the compromise thing. It's like whenever we do it, we end up watching, like, Hall Pass, you know, or like The Mask, which I wasn't mad about, and it was, to be honest, mostly my choice. But it can be really difficult. Mm. I find it difficult to just choose anything on Netflix. Like, what I would give for just a generate, you know, like just a random like Netflix roulette, I think could go over really well for me because I waste about 20 minutes. I've also really been enjoying Netflix Party, the Chrome extension.
If you have
access to that, it's an amazing way to watch films or TV shows with your mates and chat and pause it and annoy everyone when you need to go to the toilet and find out amazing things like that your best friend doesn't know that Shrek was also Austin Powers. It's just amazing. A lot of revelations. And it reminds me so much of like I spent all of high school on the phone to my friends watching like the Sunday night movie on TV2 and then watching through to like the horror movie that would start at around 10:30 and then falling asleep on the phone.
No.
And now I'm like doing that again. Like I feel like I'm regressing, but in a cool way.
Yeah.
Where now I like basically the same friends still watching basically the same films and then just eventually all falling asleep at our laptops. There's something quite, I don't know, it's quite something poetic about it.
People actually calling each other on the phone again is something new and amazing to probably come out of this because God knows we've all turned into texters. Certainly people under a certain age where the idea of answering a phone call is just like absolute hell.
Mm. Yeah,
but now it's normal again.
I've had more phone calls this week than I've probably had in the rest of the year. You know, it's like people ringing me, and usually I pretend that I'm not here because I don't like talking on the phone quite often. And but now I'm going, oh look, it's my aunt. She wants to talk to me. Yeah.
And also, where else would you be?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm on my constitutional walk.
Oh, sure, your daily constitutional.
That is quite a funny new problem as well, eh? It's like if you're just kind of video chatting someone and you're like, okay, gotta go. To where? What do you got on? You know? It's like I haven't quite nailed how to end like conversations in this new world because I have no excuse. Like I'm like, you know, I'm not even walking out there. Like I'm just sitting around. But in like video calls as well would be something that used to fill me with dread. Like when would you ever have like a video meeting? Like, yeah.
No. Like we're doing right now.
Yeah.
I know.
And I just honestly, as soon as we came on this Zoom call, I was like, there's your faces.
Yeah.
And it's like the best thing I've seen all day.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate because there's all those visual cues. I've been doing some radio stuff and it's all, they do it all via Skype, but just Skype audio. So you don't, there's a tiny delay and you don't know when somebody's about to say anything because, you know, when we can see each other, we see that somebody's taking in a deep breath because they've got a thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I find that really frustrating. So this is great.
Mm.
I miss you.
I miss you all. I miss humans. I just miss.
Remember them. Remember humans.
Remember going to, like, a bar. Oh.
Oh, God.
going to a concert? Oh my god.
Gross. No concerts. All I can think of is just sweat and germs.
And bubbles bursting.
Yeah.
What I just can't stop thinking about, though, is like, do you think this is going to change just like human behavior?
I think so.
For ages? Do you think we'll be able to go back to just like being in a huge crowd or, I don't know, like so using gym equipment, all that stuff?
This is the thing that terrifies me, because I used to think that I had a very diverse portfolio of revenue streams.
No, listen to me.
And then I realised that all I actually do is stand in a room that's filled with people and talk. That's all my, stand-up, corporate work, after dinner, speaking, all of that. And I'm terrified that will not happen anymore, that people won't go and sit shoulder to shoulder in a comedy club or hold a conference or have a dinner where they fucking share food while somebody's breathing next to them. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And that's me fucked, because as my backup plan, there was freelance writing. It's all gone. So, yeah, I'm terrified of that.
I mean, I don't think you should be. I think people are so desperate for those times to happen again that I reckon that aspect of our social behaviour will bounce back faster than you could believe. I know I made a joke about like a gross concert or whatever in germs, but I would give anything to go to a bar and just it be filled with people I don't know and people that I do know, and just like the smell of other people and like the warmth, you know, I think everyone wants that. And I can't imagine a world where as soon as we're told we're allowed to do that again, that it's not just everyone will just be out.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to a crowded train.
I know.
Just the little things.
One thing just my partner posited, which I thought was an interesting prospect, is maybe people might put their phones and devices down a bit more often, sort of stay off online spaces for a while, because, I mean, they just might, after we're given our freedom again, it might just be a little bit triggering, you know? Like,
true.
We had to spend so much time inside a phone and inside a computer screen for the months or however long we're here, that once we're free again, people might want to be free of that as well some more. I don't know. It's a nice theory.
Yeah, I love it.
That's a great point. There was a, before the lockdown hit, a couple of days before, when kind of businesses, it was sort of when the hospitality and events, you know, took their first hit, I did a story about people who were still working in industries where you had to touch people. And I interviewed, I forgot her name, but the woman who runs Colleen on K Road, and she was really awesome. And she said to me, she's like, look, you know, being really realistic about what's going to happen, but whatever happens, I hope long term also that people remember to think about their health and the way that their health might impact other people. Like, she was like, every year up until now, sick people coming into this salon would just sit down and cough and splutter and like snot all over my workers, and we didn't feel like we could turn them away, and they still felt like they had a right to sit here and get us sick. Whereas now, obviously in that context, they were turning people away and, you know, eventually obviously shut down. But yeah, she hopes that that's something people would be a little more sensitive about in the future.
That's interesting.
That people would actually think about their health or if they are infected with something as something that could actually impact other people in quite a serious way.
Yeah.
So we're saying there could be a middle ground between complete physical isolation and what we used to do, and we could find a pathway through that where we do spend time with each other, but we're more respectful and thoughtful about how we interact.
Yeah.
Oh, that's making my little Pollyanna heart really happy.
Well, I was going to take a big dump on that and say I don't think we can expect a total utopia out the other side of this, because people are people are people. And a lot of us will just go back to being glued to our phones and being jerks to other people and going to the hairdressers when we're sick, because you can't. But I think overall, for a while at least, we're all going to be way more mindful of the people around us, I'd like to think.
Yeah. And for a long time, right, if people, if you start to get sick, you're going to be like, is this it?
Fuck. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which could keep us going for a couple of years. It's just a crazy time. I really can't wait till we're all in a room together again.
I know. Yes, please.
Even then, I'm like, remember podcasting in the same studio? Remember breathing
into a microphone?
Exactly. Is there anything else for watching and reading that we'd like to recommend? I just want to give a really quick recommendation after being told by thousands of people to watch it, that I'm finally into Schitt's Creek and it's getting me through my life.
So good, so good.
So we got to episode 3 and gave up. So no,
keep going.
Go back.
Keep
stuck
going.
That's how I felt, and I just stuck at it, and now it's like I need a couple of eps every night. Just 20 minutes as well. Oh,
great.
It's just delicious. It is. So that's my recommend. It's perfect, kind of soothing, hilarious pandemic fodder.
Yeah. I've been watching, I have always really liked Bob Fosse films, Sweet Charity, starring Shirley MacLaine from, I want to say like 1969 or something. One of my all-time favourite movies. I love a kitschy musical. And so I started watching the miniseries or TV series about Bob Fosse and Gwen Verdon, his longtime partner and choreography genius partner and wife. And it's so amazing. It's got Michelle Williams as Gwen Verdon and oh, I love him and I always forget his name. He's kind of ratty looking. Oh, it'll come to me. Anyway, amazing choreography, and then they reproduce like Sweet Charity and Chicago and Cabaret, and so there's all these really amazing recreations of those films and theatre productions. And but mostly it's basically about how Bob Fosse owes his career to his wife, who became his ex-wife, who just never got any of the credit for it. And Michelle Williams is just like, mwah, mwah, in it, because she's an amazing actress. But it is one of those real, like, fuck dudes, fuck them so much, fuck. Because I have always thought that Bob Fosse was the genius director, choreographer, whatever. It was his wife the whole time. He won an Oscar and didn't even thank her.
Oh, my God.
So it's very good, but also quite frustrating.
Yeah.
What's it called? The Stocko?
It's a mini series. It's called Fosse Verdon. Fosse / Verdon.
Great. Writing it down with all my pens.
Yeah.
Do you know what we're going to do today? Because today was the day we were flying out to LA, and because of the time change, we were going to land in LA, drive through to Anaheim, and go to the opening game of the Angels baseball season. They're our team. So we're having, instead, we're here, of course. I've got my Angels shirt on. And yes. We're having a baseball party, and we have found you can get reruns on Major League Baseball TV. So we're going to play a video of a game that we saw 2 years ago, and we're both going to wear our Angels gear, and we're making hot dogs and helmet nachos. And
oh,
I'm probably going to get completely trashed.
Yay. So, yay. Do you actually put the nachos in a helmet?
In a helmet. You buy them at the game, obviously, and you can take the helmet home. So it's a big, it's a baseball helmet, red plastic baseball helmet, and I'm making nachos in that this afternoon.
Oh my God, cute.
Oh, so that's what we're doing.
Oh. And then when you get drunk, you put the helmet on and get all the jalapenos and the cheese in your hair. Love
and
it.
You can just pick it out of your hair for days.
All the birds will fly and like eat the nachos out of your hair like Cinderella, basically.
It'll be a Disney movie. It's amazing.
Alex's new friends, the birds.
Love a bird. That sounds great. Yeah, I have seen bird. For all there have been a lot of things on Instagram that have annoyed me, but I've also seen people being very inventive with how to make the most of lockdown and create these special feeling like moments. Jamie Curry with her wife or fiance did basically created like a Coachella in their house. Like they made the whole, they decked out the whole house with festival gear. They made like a big poster with a huge lineup and then just did like a YouTube playlist. They had all these live performances of all these different people and just like got all dressed up with glitter and then just watched it. So I quite like really that. People are doing creative.
I have been enjoying, weirdly, Chris Parker's felting Instagram stories. Felting, those little animals that he felts and that other people also seem to know about. I've just never seen them before. And just sitting there stabbing a small animal repeatedly with a needle looks really soothing. Well, just it's just nice to sit there and listen to him talk as well. It's very, just like listening to your mum go on about something. Very familiar, nice background noise.
Yeah, I literally don't understand how the stabbing makes the animal happen, but I don't care. Like, I don't care. Like, you start with a sheet of felt and you stab it and then there's like a hamster. But I just don't even want to know. I don't even want to know. There's a, They're also, Hilary Barry's really up to social media game over lockdown. She's starting a lot of sort of viral hashtags, challenges, bubbles for bubbles, formal Friday, all sorts of things. So there are a lot of ways I think you can still feel connected to people.
Yeah.
But also you don't have to do any of it if you just want to chill. And
you can just tidy your drawer.
Exactly.
I thought I was going to learn lots of cool TikTok dances, but they're really hard. I've got some of the easy ones down, like the Benny one, but Renegade, man, I can't do it. By the end of lockdown, I will have done it, and I'm going to perform it for you guys.
Yes.
All
yes, please.
3.5 seconds of it.
Do you have a TikTok account?
No, not yet. I'm just waiting.
You did make that viral TikTok coffee, though, this morning.
I did. I made the Dalgona coffee, the Korean coffee sensation that someone made on their TikTok and then it went viral. You whip instant coffee, sugar and a little bit of water in it. You whip it for ages until it goes into a fluffy, creamy, and then you put it on top of milk and ice. And it told me to use 2 tablespoons of coffee with 2 tablespoons of sugar and the equal amount of water. And so I did 1 tablespoon and it made just sort of like a half an inch of creaminess to put on. I was so wired after I drank that.
Really?
It was a whole tablespoon of coffee in one drink.
True. So it's just like the foam sits on top of your milk of choice, is that?
Yeah, and then you sort of mix it in. It's quite yummy. It is really, really good. But the Dalgona coffee crash was also very real. About an hour before this podcast, I was just like lying on the couch drooling on myself.
What a great day. There was a tweet that was like, there's no time anymore, there's just coffee hours and alcohol hours.
Yeah. Oh my god, my partner, I didn't know until we went into lockdown, has this thing about coffee chat. He hates it when his workmates talk to him about how much coffee they've had, whether or not they've got the jitters. He's like, you have no physical symptoms, stop talking to me about coffee jitters. So he's banned coffee chat from the house. I quite like to talk about coffee when I'm having a coffee, and like you pour your third cup and then you're like, oh, I really shouldn't. Banned.
Yeah. Really? Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So I have and what I about started your special texting coffee, another though? Friend my coffee
when
chat.
You made a special coffee?
That's what I said. He said, how was it? And I was like, I don't know. Does that count as coffee chat? You'll just have to look at my Instagram story to find out.
He stitched himself up there. Something chronic. Oh, dear.
Sorry, that was a tangent.
It's good to laugh. It's good to laugh.
It's good to laugh.
Do we want to nominate some Yas Queens of the month?
Yes.
It feels...
Oh, my God, I do.
Yes.
Okay.
Can I go first?
Yes.
Where shall we start?
I'm going to go first. I have a really, really good one. My Yas Queen for this month and for the 36 months previously is Alex Casey.
What?
It's our last podcast for now with Alex, but it's also Alex's last day at the spinoff today. And you're my Kia Ora Queenie now and forever.
Yep.
and we're going to miss you so much, and I've learned so much from you, and it's just not going to be the same. We love you, Alex.
Yeah, what she said, because I can't talk now.
Oh, no. And now here comes the creaming soda vodka tears.
I'm sorry, I had to go there. You know I had to. Our listeners wanted to hear it. Our Aww. Listeners get to be also included in our honorary Kia ora Queenie for going through all of this with us.
Well, in that case, I see you and I raise you. Kia ora Queenie, Leonie and Michelle. Doing this podcast with you every month for the past, what is it, 4 years, 5 years? Mm-hmm. 5 years? Has been an absolute joy, and I have learned so much from the both of you. I feel like, well, this isn't the end for On the Rags. We still have to somehow make a second season of our web series at some point. But, yeah, what we've done together on this podcast, the things that we have shared, which I never thought would be something that would be in the public domain.
Oh, my God.
Let alone shared with thousands of people out there. But the community that kind of came together, is, yeah, thank you to all the listeners as well who've been there from the start or come in halfway or just come in, have been there for various iterations of Facebook pages and groups and web series and whatever the hell other things we've tried on this long journey. It's been great. I can't believe I just said journey. It's turning me into such like a sappy cliche. I hate it.
You're around. It's an emotional time.
Yeah.
And we have to come back, no matter, you know, what, under however circumstances, words, not my bitch right now. End of the year. Let's do an end of the year catch up. Because I can't bear the idea that we don't have another one to look forward to. So in December, let's just do this.
Yeah.
Let's do it again. See this as a pause, not just for us, but just for, you know, as the world figures out what it wants. And then we can come back and regroup at the end of the year. And, yeah, we'd love to still keep in touch with you on our Facebook page as well if you still want to see the stuff that we'll be doing through the year, hopefully, you know, there's going to be some more stuff coming out of the On the Rags stable. But for now, also big shout out to Tina Tiller, our producer, who is currently writing in a notepad shaped like a pair of undies.
Who also started this podcast drinking straight from a bottle of Malibu. We saw you.
Queen.
Kia ora Queenie, an absolute legend, and to bloody hell, like Mad, who's featured on this podcast a couple of times, who also produced it early on, Alice, Jose, there's been a lot of different people in our family, Amber, oh my God, no, it's fine, I'm getting too emotional again, we're all still here, and we're all still going to be doing stuff, but for now, the podcast is taking a little breather. And thank you for sticking with us for this long. And I hope you stick around for whatever else is coming because you haven't seen the last of us.
Yes.
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 Love you guys.
Stay safe out there, everybody. Stay in touch.
Stay safe.
Follow us on Facebook and stay 2 meters away from each other for now.
We'll see you at the orgy.
Bye.
Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
Hello for Lover, I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spin-Off. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spin-Off member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
the Spinoff Podcast Network.